The Mystic Numbers, Daniel and the Apocalypse, by the Reverend W.F.A. Ellison, which appeared in the Irish Astronomical Journal for June 1953. You will think that I'm leading you very far from the book of Daniel when I ask you to refer to the tables to find Easter in your prayer books. Yet, curiously enough, there is an intimate connection between the above mysterious looking numbers, because at the head of the article there are a number of quotations of the 2300, the 70 weeks, the 1260 days, the 1335 days, the 1290 days, the 42 months, and from the Bible, from Daniel and Revelation. Yet, curiously enough, there is an intimate connection between the above mysterious looking numbers and the said tables, over which no doubt many of you have made your heads ache. I know I have in days gone by, trying to see a meaning in them and their queer headlines: the golden number, the Sunday letter, and the E-Pact. It is not necessary to explain to a gathering of the clergy that the date of Easter is fixed by that of the Paschal full moon. Our Lord suffered at the time of the Jewish Passover, or rather the day before it. The Passover took place on the 14th of the Jewish month, Nisan, and therefore on the day of the full moon, or as near to it as the very imperfect astronomy of that day permitted. Should mention here that this is the text of a paper read at the Armagh Clerical Union by the late Canon W.F.A. Ellison, former director of Armagh Observatory. The earliest controversies about the date of Easter centered around the question whether it should be celebrated actually on the 14th day of Nisan or on the Sunday following. The upholders of the 14th of Nisan were called, from the fact, Quarto Decimans, and the later church decided for the Sunday, and all later controversies on the subject, and there were many, were only concerned with the method of calculating the date on which the important full moon would fall. Now, having got it clear that the date of the most important festival in the Christian year is determined by an astronomical event, to wit, a phase of the moon, we naturally turn our attention to questions of the moon's phases and the rules for predicting their recurrence. The moon has, from very ancient times, been a date fixer, only second in importance to the sun. The cycle of her phases gave the month, or moonth. The interval between successive phases, new moon, half moon, full moon, gave the week. Primitive man needed no other calendar than that which nature had given him in the skies above his head. So many moons ago or to come was a time measure that every savage could understand, and civilization had to advance very far before anything better was devised. If the moon was important as a calendar, there was another way in which she made herself felt, and that with tremendous, not to say sinister, force. From time to time, humanity was startled by eclipses. A partial eclipse of sun or moon was a portent which might cause various feelings, from mere curiosity to anxious foreboding. A total eclipse of the moon was something more. when the moon became as blood, an educated man felt profoundly uneasy, but a total eclipse of the sun was a nerve-shaking event, the cause of widespread terror and consternation. I did not fully realize its possibilities till I witnessed one myself. The sudden, dense, inky darkness, unheralded by any warning, and like any other darkness, is distinctly nerve-trying, even now when we know all about it and can calculate to a fraction of a second when and to a few hundred yards where it will occur. I could feel the effect it had on the vast crowd on the hilltop at Lysfane on that grey, cheerless morning of June 29th, 1927. I feel sure that had the darkness lasted 3 or 4 minutes instead of only 23 seconds, some of that crowd would have begun to get hysterical. A vast sigh of relief, followed by a burst of cheering, hailed the return of light and the hastening away to the northeast of the awful black veil which had been drawn over the sky. Yet, those people knew what was coming and had gathered there to witness it as a holiday spectacle. In primitive times, eclipses won or lost battles, shook kingdoms, frightened rulers to death. In Revelation 6, John can find no more awful portents to accompany the opening of the sixth seal and the judgment day than an earthquake, a total eclipse of the sun, a total eclipse of the moon, and a great meteoric shower. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair is an accurate description of the appearance of the sun when totally eclipsed. The blackness of the disk, accentuated by the silvery radiance of the surrounding corona. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And the man who wrote that must have seen the great cloak of darkness roll up as the daylight sky retreated before the shadow of the moon. The description is exact and vivid in the extreme. I realized that when I saw it. No one who had not seen it could have put it into words so apt. Now, this being so, we can imagine how great a man he was and what an impression he must have made on his contemporaries who first discovered the cause of these terrifying phenomena and showed that he could predict their recurrence. Such a man was Meton, the Athenian, who discovered the first known cycle of the sun and moon, the Metonic cycle, or Seiros, is still in use as a first approximation in calculating the phases of the moon and eclipses. It may be called the lowest common multiple of the lunar month and the solar year. Briefly, it amounts to this. Every 19 years, the phases of the moon come back to the same days of the month. The return is not rigorously exact, but is a little over 2 hours later. And after 18 years, 11 days, and 8 hours, the same eclipses return to the same latitude as before. Owing to the odd 8 hours, they do not return to the same longitude, but 120 degrees, or one third of a rotation, further west. Thus, the curious total eclipse of the sun, which passed over France and Belgium on April the 17th, 1912, will be repeated on April the 28th, 1930. But this time it will pass over the United States and Canada, which are 120 degrees further west. In 1966, after three Saroi, or Saroi, plural of Saros, it will again visit Europe. Its date will then be 33 days later, or May 20th. It is hardly too much to say that Meton's discovery lifted a nightmare from civilized humanity, if not the million, at least learned men now knew that an eclipse was a natural phenomenon and not a portent of the wrath of the gods or an omen of the disruption of the world and the end of the human race. So the Athenians showered honours on Meton and ordered his discovery to be engraved in letters of gold on a public memorial. It is this cycle which appears in the prayer book and the somewhat cryptic phrases, the golden number, the Sunday letter, and the epact, refer to its figures. The golden number is the number indicating the place of the year in the 19-year cycle. The year one in the cycle is that in which the new moon occurs on the 1st of January. The Sunday letter is a letter expressing the day of the week on which January the 1st falls. Sunday is A, Saturday B, Friday C, and so on. It counts backwards, not forwards, in the order of the week, as we might expect. The epact is the moon's age in days on January the 1st. It changes by 11 at a time, going back again whenever it exceeds 13. So we have 0, 11, 22, 3, 14, 25, and so on. These three data being known, the date of Easter follows, or of any other phase of the moon in the year. Incidentally, this extract from the article that was in this paper in the Irish Astronomical Journal was provided by the NASA Astrophysics Data System. And so clearly they found it worth archiving. You'll be wondering when I'm coming to Daniel, but these preliminaries were necessary before you could understand the rest of my paper. I have said that the Metonic cycle is the lowest common multiple of the lunar month and the solar year. Also, that it is only an approximate multiple. There are other common multiples of the same two periods, much longer, but far more exact. And the calculation of these cycles is a matter of great difficulty, requiring an accurate knowledge of astronomy and great mathematical ability. And I might add here, an accurate clock. A Swiss astronomer named De Chazot, about the middle of the 18th century, felt curious on the subject, and in the course of his investigations he found that 315 years make a cycle with only 1/10 the error of the metonic. And he had no sooner observed this than he recognized he must have been a student of his Bible as well as of the heavens, that the number 315 is 1/4 of 1260, one of the principal periods of Daniel and the Apocalypse. This interested him, and he began to examine all the mystic numbers of the two books, with the remarkable result that they all, without exception, proved to be cycles of the sun and moon, and therefore eclipse cycles of very high accuracy. 1260 years, 2300 years, and their difference, 1040 years, are all of them accurate cycles of the sun and moon. And the last, the 1040, is a triple cycle, being a common multiple of the solar day, lunar month, and the year. The refinement of modern methods has made possible corrections of the lunar tables from time to time, but the remarkable fact has thus been brought to light that all such corrections as have hitherto been made in bringing the lunar tables up to date have reduced the discrepancies between the lunar tables and these ancient cycles almost to vanishing point. In other words, the ancient cycles used by Daniel and John, without understanding what they meant, be it observed, are more accurate than the modern tables, which are only now with difficulty struggling up to the accuracy attained by some old world astronomical authorities forgotten millenniums ago. Had the numbers survived in tradition long after their purpose and meaning had been lost? Were they used as mystical symbols by prophets and apocalyptists who had not the vaguest idea of their real meaning? Daniel and John are not the only writers who used them. They appear to have been the current coin of Jewish mystics for several centuries. In our own time, the Reverend Grattan Guinness took up the subject and expanded De Chazot's work, and he observed some remarkable results. 1. That the 2300 year cycle is the primary natural cycle for the correction of the metonic cycle, is indeed only an expanded metonic cycle, or larger Seiros. Before Meton earned Athenian honours by discovering the Seiros, Daniel had embodied in his revealed chronology the grand cycle adapted to correct the errors of the latter. And the use of the Seiros is indispensable in any calendar adjusted to the months and years of nature. The slight error of the Seiros accumulates to nearly a day in 11 Seroi, or 209 years, and to nearly 11 days in 11 times 11 Seroi, or 2,299 years, which error is balanced by the 11 days epact in the 2,300th year. The 2,300-year cycle, which is 33 times as exact as the Metonic, and is the primary cycle adapted for its correction, is therefore the natural basis for a calendar correctly adjusted to solar and lunar revolutions. That, secondly, that the accumulated epacts of 2,300 years, or what is the same thing, the difference between 2,300 lunar years and 2,300 solar, the epact being the 11 days remainder after subtracting 12 lunar months from 12 solar months, make up exactly 70 lunar years and 7 months. The rate of epact, or the sun's gain on the moon per annum, is 1 month in 1,000 days, 12 months lunar. In 12,000 days, 33 years, one human generation, the lifetime of Christ, and 70 times this is 2,300 years. Thirdly, that 2,300 years are not only a cycle of the solar year and synodical month, that is, new moon to new moon, but are also a cycle of the anomalistic lunar month. Lunar cycles are contracted or enlarged in their various returns by what is known as the moon's anomaly. This is an acceleration or retardation of new moon, amounting to 9 hours 47 minutes on either side of zero, 19 and a half hours altogether, and has to be taken into account in all calculations in which the moon is concerned. The 2,300 years being free from this important error, as well as the others, makes it an unrivaled lunar cycle. The periods all fit into their places with exactness, so that it is clear that we have here a design. It is like the fitting together of a dissected puzzle. If the pieces fit and make a picture, it is evident that we have obtained the arrangement which the artist designed. And who was the artist in this case? There can be only one answer. Fourthly, we have not yet exhausted the peculiarities of these strange and significant figures. If you multiply 1260 by 2, we get 2520. This number is the lowest common multiple of the first 10 numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All divide into it without remainder. 1260 years are 3.5 times the period so often mentioned by Daniel as a time times and a half, or a time times and the dividing of time. 2520 years are therefore 7 times, each time, of course, being 360 years. Fifthly, if we add 75 years to 1260 years, we get the 1335 years of Daniel 12. This addition is also made in nature, for 75 years are exactly the difference between 2520 lunar years and the same number of solar years. Sixthly, the prophetic month, that is 30 years, is also an important calendar cycle with an error which corrects itself in 42 months, or 1260 years. 30 lunar years constitute a very exact cycle of the month and day, a cycle which forms the basis of the Mahometan calendar. If the lunar month be reckoned as 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, only 3 seconds too long, the cycle is absolutely exact. Seventhly, 2,300 years are exactly 40 days of the Annus Magnus. That is to say, the period of revolution of the major axis of the Earth's orbit with respect to the equinoxes. One day is 57.5 years. 40 days is 2,300 years. And 365 days is 21,000 years. Dr. Grattan Guinness writes, at the present time, the Earth's perihelion, or nearest approach to the sun, occurs on January the 1st. In Daniel's time, it was on November the 22nd. The difference is 40 days, and Daniel's time was 2,300 years ago. And since Dr. Grattan Guinness wrote, more than 50 years have elapsed, and the date of perihelion has moved on a day and now falls on January the 2nd or 3rd, according as the year is an ordinary or a leap year. Well, this detailed agreement between natural and prophetic chronology, whence did it come? The facts would seem to suggest a very serious pause before we presume to criticize Daniel out of existence. You will, of course, have observed that I have throughout made the seemingly necessary and usual assumption that the days of the prophet represent years at least. There's nothing to prevent their representing longer periods, provided they are integral numbers of years. It is familiar to students of the Hebrew scriptures that the sacred writers used the word indiscriminately for literal days of 24 hours and for years, epochs, and ages. The Authorized Version of Genesis chapter 1, with its the first day, the second day, and so on, involves both a mistranslation of the text and a disastrously misleading suggestion. I believe it to be our bounden duty to explain from our pulpits that the word should read period 1, period 2, and so on, which is the exact literal meaning of the Hebrew. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, we have the word used in the two different senses, within four words of a single verse. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. So there's an article by the Reverend Ellison in the Irish Astronomical Journal, provided by the NASA Astrophysics Data System.